No, I'm just kidding. But that is a lead in to, yeah, sorry if I just blew out everybody's.
Yeah, I was going to say, now everybody's like, turn their volume
up. Now everybody has
so
turned up
high.
All their volume to, so that they can hear what I was saying, and then I blew out their eardrums. Hey, that's okay. We take chances here on No Sevens. Did I say the right name for our podcast?
I think so.
I don't know what I said.
I don't know.
Sure.
I think I feel like you said welcome back to season two. Hopefully. No. I don't know. I don't know what you said.
Season
but...
two of No Sevens. We took a little break. Now we're back. I think this is going to be one of those shows that has like a lot of seasons, like NCIS or something like that, because I think we're just going to end up taking a lot of these little miniature breaks.
Or Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, or Grey's Anatomy. And
that's
then we're
the goal.
Come back and be like.
Is to outdo Grey's Anatomy. So.
I don't know if that's the goal. I don't think. The people on Grey's Anatomy go through quite a bit of suffering and unnecessary drama.
This is true.
I think we would like to keep all of that contained inside the movies and not in the meta of our podcast.
Okay, fair enough. I was speaking strictly in terms of season length, but
okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway,
I guess I should have understood that from the context. But
David, real quick, it's actually hilarious that you started whispering because we
That's
did
what
not
I was
discuss
going for.
Well.
Sorry,
I mean,
ahead.
We did not discuss this at all beforehand, but I was going to say we should whisper for the intro. Or like if I did the intro, I was going to do a little whispering. But so we're on the same wavelength. Did a little off-season grind. We're ready. We're back. And I don't know of much better way to start or to start season two than with the first blockbuster film I've seen in almost a year.
Yeah,
in theaters.
First one for me back in the theaters.
Yeah, so I saw Tenet.
Did we all see it in the theaters?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that was the only... Is it, so far, that's the only way it's come out, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think it's on HBO Max.
So I saw Tenet in the theaters when they briefly opened back up earlier. And until last night, because I found my ticket for Tenet, I thought Tenet came out like, you know, a few months ago. I didn't really remember when I saw it. And I looked at my ticket and it was August of 2020. I was like, what? I mean, it just has been such a blur. And I thought, well, yeah, I was in the movie theaters, you know, a few months ago, and it's been almost a year. So that was kind of weird, but it was fun. It was nice being back, get a little popcorn action.
How many people were you sharing the theaters with?
Mine was almost full, like not including like social distancing, like they were leaving it was like assigned seating with like a space gap between every group. But when I bought my ticket, there were not very many seats left to choose from. So mine was pretty full.
Mine was 20% full, maybe 30. Go ahead.
I was the only one in the theater.
That's amazing. That's killer. I mean, that's like the best way to watch a movie. So we had a few friends from church, which you guys would all know, spoiler alert, not on the movie, but on something I'll probably bring up later. Luke Edmonds had the best line of the night after the movie was over. And I'll tell you guys probably later when we get into it. But so we had a few friends from church. I think there were like six or seven of us and then a few other people. So, but definitely was not very crowded.
So we should probably say what the movie that we watched was, because we haven't actually done that yet. It was A Quiet Place, Part 2. Sorry.
Yes.
My mom is in the room. Could you just give me 1 second?
I don't think he finished the dishes.
Oh, no.
David's behind on his chores.
Chores.
And now he's having to be reconciled. He's having to
reprimanded.
Be reprimanded by his mom.
Won't be able to play video games later either.
Not for a week. Oh, me. Well, anyway, yeah, so we watched A Quiet Place 2 while David is away. Let me just get into these the stars of the film.
Emily Blunt.
Yep, Emily Blunt, Millicent Simmons, Cillian Murphy, and that one guy in every Christopher Nolan film. Unless I've already said his name. I don't know. Scott, yeah, I don't know what his name is.
Who are you talking about?
Like, he was Scarecrow.
That's Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that how you say his name? Like the C is like an S?
I said Cillian.
How would you say? Cillian?
Killian. Yeah,
it seems like it's like a Irish name, so I don't want to make any assumptions about how.
Well, if I sound like I've never heard or said these names before, it's because I haven't. So,
You're right, David. Okay. Phonetically, K-I-L-E-E-U-H-N.
Well, Mr. Murphy, I apologize. Yes.
Okay.
Killian Murphy.
Good to know. Do we say Jamon Hounsou? We've seen him before.
Nope.
We have?
Yeah, he was in Gladiator. He had a small role. I was like finding like actors that we've seen in previous movies and just like, I think he was in something else that maybe it was just Gladiator. Anyway, he was also in this movie.
I did not know Killian Murphy was in this movie, but I'm a big fan of him and I think he's a great actor.
All right. Should we get into our over-unders?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. Silas, would you like to go first?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. Okay, well, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first? I mean,
I said no. No, I mean, I'll go.
Go for it. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'll go. I mean, it's an over for me. Definitely a watch. A watch recommend. So I really enjoyed it. You know, being in the theaters added another level to it. Just seeing it on the big screen with the sound, you know, the nice sound system and everything. So that definitely helped, especially for a movie like this. But I will say I wish I had watched the first one before, like again, before I went and saw the second one, just as like a refresher.
Because same.
I mean, it didn't take very long to kind of have your, like, to kind of remember what happened, but there were some finer details that were left out in my brain that I wish I had or just real quick, like, rewatched the first one going into that one. But otherwise, I mean, super interesting. I thought it was, I mean, it's the first one was very unique concept and it was very well done. And then this one, all the same. So I really, really liked it.
Yeah, over for me as well. Man, I feel bad for whoever was in my seat after at like the next showing because I was sweating. Like I was stressed out through in like a good like thriller, like suspense movie way. Like this movie was so suspenseful and just, man, glued to your seat. Like there were so many little things that were just like even a little tiny, and it's when you think about it, there's not that much that really like happens in the movie, like, but it's just the way that it is crafted, I thought was really well done. I agree with like watching the first one before this. I meant to do that and I just didn't get around to it, and then I was like, okay, well I have to go see this movie today. So yeah, I wish I had watched the first one. Definitely if you have not seen the first one, like watch that first 100%. But if you've already seen the first one, it's recommended that you watch it again before you see it.
Yeah, it's probably over for me as well. The same as both of you, I agree. I wish I would have rewatched that. But I think to that point, they did a good job of re-explaining everything in an interesting way that wasn't like too redundant or anything. So I appreciated that about the beginning of the movie.
Luke was actually one that did not watch it at all. Like, sorry, the first one. He didn't see the first one. And this was word for word what he said. I didn't see the first one, but I read about it on Wikipedia. So it's just so funny that he like went to Wikipedia to read about it of all places, which I guess is valid. You know, I'm sure he found good information, but
I feel like if I was going to read about a movie, I'd go to IMDb.
Yeah, well, so, but that's just Luke, you know, so.
I mean, I guess, anyway. Yeah, if you just purely need, like, world-building content, that'll do. But, like, you miss out on a lot of the good. All right, yep. Should we get into our spoilers?
Yes. Do it.
3, 2, 1.
We still don't know if they're still, like, we don't know anything about what's going to happen next.
The monsters and that's not, can't swim.
Yeah, that's a giant spoiler. They can't swim, but they can surf a boat.
They can sail.
Yeah.
And everybody on the island dies. Don't get your hopes up.
Like everybody on the island died.
Well, probably most of them.
There were definitely a few casualties, but I feel like they made it to the car pretty quick, and there was only one on the island.
Two?
So
there's no way.
Yes.
That thing was meleeing every person like it could find. Like, it hit so many of those people.
it hit a lot of those people. We don't know how many people were on the island or how many of them got to shelter. Like, it took them maybe a couple minutes to get into the car, and as soon as they got to the car, they were drawing it away. So, like, definitely a lot of people were killed in the initial, like attack, but I feel like a lot of them would have been safe. I mean, not everybody, obviously, but there was only that one monster, so...
They better invest in some submarines to sink alien ships coming across
the bay. Now they can defeat the aliens.
Well, you would think, but that's why I said we still don't know what's going on. Like, you know, they made a lot of progress, but I think it's still open. I mean, it seemed open-ended enough for there to be a third if they wanted to. They might not,
I suppose, but I feel like a third would end up getting into, like, it's basically just go around with a giant speaker playing that sound, like, you know, disorient them and kill them. Like, I don't know.
I guess.
They like found their kryptonite. So I feel like at this point, like, the issue is just scaling. Cause that was like what the whole radio station thing was about. It was like, if she can broadcast that over the radio, then anybody who has a radio has a way to like defend themselves from the monster, right?
The Demogorgon, if you may.
That's true. It is a little Demogorgon-esque.
Very Demogorgon-y.
Yeah, very similar, but... okay, so those are the spoilers. Now let's get into, what is it, the overall kind of story, summary?
I mean, what did you guys...
It's been so long.
I didn't write very many questions. I guess, just kind of from a filmmaking standpoint, the actual craft of the movie, what did you guys think?
I mean, I thought it was really good. that's about as deep as I'm gonna get. I mean, I don't know. It was very well shot. Of course, the sound engineering and everything was very well done. I mean, even though obviously the monsters are CGI, most everything else practical effects, it seemed. So that was nice to see. Overall, I don't have any. There was nothing that stood out as being like spectacular, but I thought it was very well done.
That's kind of my review as well. Like, nothing really bothered me about it. I do think it's kind of funny. This is the second movie we've done that's like audio sign languagey.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close together too, right?
Yeah. The last Sound of Metal was.
Yeah, we're on a roll here. But I always think that's an interesting element. But like Caleb said, nothing really stood out to me as amazing necessarily either. So that's kind of why I didn't want to go first on the rating or the over under thing. And I'm still kind of making up my mind as well about that.
Wow. I guess you weren't as scared as I was, because I was having so much anxiety. Like, the whole, like, this movie was only like an hour and a half long, and I thought it was like, it felt like 2 hours. Like, I was like, I don't know how much more of this movie, like, I can take. Like, I was like, I was enjoying it. I was like, this is really good. But also, like, I'm super stressed out. Like, first of all, every single time they would go into that little, like, vault thing, I was And I was like, maybe that's not even something that's going to factor in. Like, maybe that's just an effective way for them to use that little vault, and it won't matter. And then they locked himself in, and I was like, oh, man. Because, first of all, it seems like there would be no situation where you would be like, I need this vault to be able to still lock. Like, it seems like you could have just, like, permanently wrapped thing around there.
That's what I was going to say.
There's no way that it's ever going to, like...
I mean, as soon as you saw that vault and you saw that towel thing, like, going out, you knew somebody was going to get locked in there. Like, come on.
Yeah, so...
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, there should have been definitely a more permanent fixture. To keep that from happening. But
and also, why was that guy, why didn't he shoot the Demogorgon that was chasing them when the kid like stepped in the bear trap?
Because he didn't know that, like, he said he'd never seen one dead before, right? So like, at that point, that family are the only ones who know how to kill them at all.
Okay.
Because the only way you can kill them is when their heads are like open and their like inner, you know, stuff is exposed.
Right,
so
right,
like
right.
Like in the beginning, like the cop was trying to like shoot the monster with a shotgun, and as long as it's like, you know, like shelled up and whatever, it you know, it can take the damage. So he didn't know, I don't think, how to kill it until they showed him.
I think the strength of this movie is that, and the first one too, that they don't go too much into like the backstory or the silence, not the silence, the science behind the aliens. Because if you get too much in the weeds of that, you kind of just like start thinking about, I don't know, your mind runs and stuff and you get kind of lost on the story. So I think they do that really well, not getting too far into the weeds and the details of the aliens and like where they came from and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, then you can start to, if you know too much, you can start to poke holes, at least like in your brain, you can start to poke holes in the plot and be like, well, that doesn't make sense or this doesn't make sense. But yeah. When basically all we know is that they seemingly these things are everywhere. And if they're not everywhere, they're extremely fast and can get to places like immediately. And that's, I think that definitely builds the suspense and like the fear factor more. David, to kind of comment on, you know, what you were talking about with suspense and I was definitely scared like a few times. The jump scares, I mean, they're going to get you. I don't think no matter how you try, or there were a few that got me really bad, but then otherwise just here and there, I was always kind of taken by those.
Which ones got you worst?
Oh, I'm trying to think. There was one that like I jumped so hard. I feel like it was towards the end of the movie. I know for sure when she was reaching in the train, getting the first aid kit, like I was expecting something. I was like, oh, she's going to drop the first aid kit. I thought that was going to happen. And then she got it and started to pull it out. I'm like, okay, so my guard went down. And then the train conductor fell. That got me. And then towards the end in the radio, there was something in the radio station. One of those got me pretty good. But otherwise, you know, you try to predict them coming because you know something's going to happen. But it could be, there were just random ones that where I jumped pretty hard. But, you know, this wasn't like a scare on a level of a horror movie. And it's not, I don't think it's supposed to be, obviously. It's more of like a thriller suspense thing. But I wasn't overly anxious during any of it. I mean, there were definitely times of suspense and like tension in my body. But it wasn't, I don't think, David, going back to you, I don't think mine was at least as bad as what you were experiencing.
Well, I was pretty, I mean, I was pretty invested in the movie. So
I definitely wasn't sweating. That's
all
I know.
Which one's got you the worst, David?
I don't know. Like I said, the vault thing was just giving me so much anxiety. Just like anytime they would go near that thing, I was like, oh, don't do that. Don't just leave. Yeah. So, but like also I think like, when the son like leaves the baby and like goes out,
you knew that was such a bad idea.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know, it's like, so like that's exactly what some like 12-year-old kid who was like scared would do. Like they would just like do something like not smart, and it was also necessary because he had to mess up something in order to like draw in the monster. So, like, that whole thing was just, and then, like, at the end where, like, they're, like, just even that scene where, like, she's, like, trying to sneak into the, like, radio booth, and he's, like, trying to lower her in there.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like, that was really good, because, like, I like that shot where it's, like, kind of, like, panning down on her feet, and it's, like, if you watch the first one, we kind of have context for people, like, stepping on things and not, like, seeing them at first. If you guys remember the nail scene from the first one.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like she's like stepping down and we can see that there's kind of like stuff like beneath her, but we don't know like what maybe she's going to like step on or if she's going to be. And she's like, you know, there's like the coffee there and then it's like she going to like trip on the coffee and she's like on the paper and it's like you can see her foot like slipping a little bit on the paper and just like that, like her being like balanced and like holding on to Emmett. Like that whole scene was like suspenseful. And then when like, she's like at the radio booth. It took her so long. I was like so stressed out when she was like, I was like, just go right over to the like the microphone and just jam that thing right in there, dude. Like so that was pretty. There's just like that whole, there were a couple scenes where it was like, yeah, there was just like culminating suspense of like where everybody was. There were just like all these things going on like at the same time. That was pretty stressful. So I don't know. I guess maybe I got into it more than you guys did in terms of like suspension of disbelief. But yeah, I was pretty stressed out.
Kind of curious why. I mean, I get not wearing shoes because it's like some kind of advantage, but it seems like the cost benefit analysis would not lead you to not wear shoes, because Emmett seemed to be fine wearing his like Carhartt army boot things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like
everyone else. Was
she's
wearing
like
shoes.
Walking around on bloody cut up.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe at this point they were just,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, maybe at this point they're just so used to it. And it's like, I think we all do stuff like this where we're like, we either have a habit or something that we do that we know doesn't work or not beneficial at all. But we like, it's like almost psychological. We're like, well, I'm still going to do it. Like, it just makes me feel better. So that might be something. But no, I noticed that too. I was like, well, everyone else has shoes on. So like, what's the deal? You know? That was interesting for sure.
It seemed like it was something that they started doing back when they were at their like ranch or whatever, their farm, where like they had all those like sand paths and stuff so they could walk, thing like
yeah.
that. So I don't know. It seems like at that point they may have just like ditched the shoes and like didn't have any. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't know. I get it. Like, I'm definitely quieter without shoes. So what did you guys think about Emmett as a character and like his character arc? Because he's maybe, I would say he has the biggest arc out of anybody in the movie.
He's definitely my favorite character, and that may just be because I'm biased, but
you just like Killian.
I do.
No, I was kidding. I mean, I really liked him. I thought at first I didn't expect that was going to be him, obviously, before he pulled like his little bandana down, because it was such a minor, I would say relatively minor detail at the very in the intro. They showed who he was and like, you know, he was a recognizable actor and everything. So I was like, oh, okay, he's in it. But I didn't, until he pulled it down, I was like, oh, well, that's the guy. So I like that they did that and were able to bring in that backstory a little bit. But yeah, I mean, from him going from not even going to let them into his little, I guess, shelter, mm-hmm. he was, and then being almost, definitely one of the top two heroes of the story. You know, without him, the girl definitely wouldn't have made it anywhere, really, because she would have been dead. She would have been killed by that thing. So, no, I mean, he was awesome. And in the words of our dear friend Tucker Baker, who he mentioned this during the movie, what a legend. he was a true legend. Oh, so, man. No, I thought he was good.
Yeah, I thought his character development was really interesting. It makes me at least curious about his like backstory, because you know his like his wife died somehow and he just like left her up there in the hospital or whatever.
Yeah, he said she got sick.
Yeah, but he didn't bury her, I guess, because of the
holding on to. Weird is what I would think.
And yeah, obviously, like he's had run-ins with the like messed up people, because he said the mm-hmm. people who are left aren't worth like saving or whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'm curious about what like battles he's fought with the people gone native, something more politically.
Yeah, he seemed like he was a little bit unstable, just because like all of the drawings of his kids and like his dead wife, just kind of, which I don't know, like it seems like it would be hard to bury some in that situation, but
at least cover her up. I mean, I don't know. There's got to be something. She's just chilling.
He didn't seem like unreasonably unstable, I guess, like the level of instability he seemed to have reached seems like, you know, if all of a sudden a bunch of monsters who kill anything that makes a sound showed up on Earth and like your two sons were killed and then your wife got sick and died and you were all alone like trying to hide out from these monsters, you'd probably be a little bit like psychologically damaged. So he didn't seem like he was completely cuckoo for like having gone through all that. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that he kind of like concealed his identity at the beginning, because it seemed like obviously he could see them and knew who they were. So he was kind of like in this position at the beginning of like, he didn't want them to know who he was, because he knew that would make it harder for him to like basically like not let them stay or whatever.
Yeah.
Was the impression I got. But I thought it seemed like he was a, don't know, it makes me a little bit sad because the dad was such a good character for the in the original movie. But I thought he was an interesting change of like having this character who it seems like needs redemption or feels like they need redemption for kind of like I guess like Lee, the dad, John Krasinski's character, like made the ultimate sacrifice in order to like keep his family alive. And like Emmett's character is like kind of the opposite of like all his family like died and he's the only one left. And it's kind of like he's sort of this like foil to like who Lee was of like he hadn't been able to like protect his family. And so I think it seemed like he needed redemption from what that had made him or turned him into, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good answer, David.
Like kind of going backwards a little bit, I just thought of something. I did really like the opening scenes with John Krasinski where he's like walking along the city front or whatever, like passing all the shops and stuff. I thought that was really nice, just visually.
Yeah.
I love like intro or not even intros, but I love in apocalyptic movies when they show day one, like how it all started, whatever it is. And I was just like, man, it just, that really, I think the intro was amazing because a little bit of backstory gives you enough to kind of like what you said earlier, Silas, refresh your memory on what's going on. It gave more details than the first movie did on, you know, it appears as though they fell from the sky, whether they're aliens or whatever they are. They came somehow from space, maybe. And so, like, you get a little bit of that, but then you see everything happen for the first time when they just invade. And, the chaos, the panic. I mean, it doesn't. So I sound like I'm enjoying that too much. I just love seeing people the run chaos, for their lives. Yeah,
the panic.
But I don't know. They did a really good job on that intro, for sure. Yeah, so that was cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was nice how like at first it seemed like it was still like after the fact of like there was just sort of this like it seemed like the town was almost abandoned and then this truck rolls up and you're like. Well, that's pretty bold for being in a situation where there's these like sound monsters.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. It's just like this small town. So yeah, I thought the opening scene was pretty good as well. One thing I didn't like about the movie was there wasn't very, it seemed like it picked up like right after the end of the first, there was not very much time dedicated to the family themselves, like mourning the dad. None of them seemed very like it seemed like they just kind of like moved on from it. And like, there was a certain amount of like them trying to like live up to his legacy, I think, but it wasn't really a super strong theme in the film. And that I think would have made it a stronger film, especially for the daughter's character arc. 'Cause in the first movie, I feel like she was the character who was like most connected to the dad.
I think you see her probably having the most mourning for him too, like getting mad at Emmett's character, being like, you're nothing like him. And then him saying like, you're right, I'm not like him at all, you are, and stuff. That I think that's a little bit to that point.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I mean, I think everything's just different in a time of crisis like that. And they don't have the ability or even really the option to spend too much time mourning. You know, they're doing it probably internally and as they can, but with just the way things are, you got to keep moving. I mean, yeah, you got
to just trying to survive,
do whatever's next. But the daughter, I think you're right, Silas, showed the most not motivation, but she was the one. Oh, this word is on the tip of my tongue. But obviously, she was doing the map finding and trying to find the way to the other fires and doing all this. Like, she showed the
initiative
to do all of that. Yeah, that's the word. So, but yeah. So I think her and her dad were obviously pretty close, and I guess she's the oldest kid, so it makes sense on why she did show that initiative, but. Real quick, are they all, and maybe this is a dumb question, it probably is a dumb question, are they all deaf?
I
think all, only, all the kids?
Only no, her. Or is it just her? Deaf.
Okay. But they signed to all of them, just, I guess, for ease of communication. Because, like, the boy, the boy, he didn't talk a ton, but, like, he did talk. So I was like, well, he's not deaf, but they're also, he was like, they were also signing to him, which I guess when you're, like, you can't make a noise, that's probably the most effective way of communication anyway. But I just couldn't remember if that was, like, a genetic thing to where all their children were deaf or not. Because I think, you know, obviously if I'd rewatched the first one, it would have been fresher on the brain. So
only the daughter is deaf, but I think they all know sign.
Yeah, so makes sense.
They use it to.
I think we can all agree the baby has the best world.
Oh, by far.
We're just chilling in that dark box. Crate.
Yeah.
So carefree.
Oxygen like mask.
Become conscious one day at 4 years old, and you're like, oh, there were monsters and stuff? That's scary.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And they're like, Mom, tell me stories about it. And like, you're like, well, you're actually a huge burden. We had to lock you in this crate and give you an oxygen mask. Like, there were so many times that you cried that could have got us killed. You know, just like really make the child feel terrible. Oh, but good for you. All of a sudden, now the monsters are gone and you're three, you know, and now you can talk.
Figured it out.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing, you dumb baby. No. Oh, man. Yeah, no, the baby, I mean, but going back to the anxiety / suspense of it. Oh, something I thought of last night, that this is kind of off top, but like, I think it's amazing that show how like human instinct is to protect that child, even though they are by far the biggest liability of anybody in the family, you know? And I just loved how they, and it might not have been intentional necessarily, but I do love how they emphasized and prioritized the protection of the baby, even when that was something that was gonna like slow them down, get them hurt. It just kind of made me think about how life changes. Like, I, you know, none of us can relate to that feeling because we don't have children, but it was kind of nice to think about that bond that you're gonna have someday with your child, in which you're gonna do anything for them, even if it's gonna put your, yeah, I don't, hopefully it's never this dramatic, you know, it's going to put your life at risk or whatever. But I got a little, you know, warm fuzzies on the inside when I came to that realization. So that's just kind of a side thing.
I also like the scene with the dock pirates.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I wanted to know more about that. Like I was saying with Killen Murphy, like having his battles with them. Obviously, he knows that there's like some bad people out there. I want to see some more of that. Like, are they cannibals too?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I think they are. They've got to be. Like
that little girl sure looked creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. I really thought that was gonna like be a like a third little storyline, and they were gonna have to. And I will say I wasn't necessarily disappointed when it was kind of short lived, but I thought, oh boy, now here we go. I thought this was just like another layer in the story. They're gonna have to find their way out of like these weird cannibal hillbilly people and. But the monsters took care of that pretty quick. I mean, made easy work out of those people. So,
yeah, I thought the way that Emmett got them out of that situation pretty baller. Like,
oh yeah,
grabs a guy.
Nice little callback to the dive.
Yeah, the dive thing, that was cool.
I was a little disappointed how long it took him to escape the rope because he was like, it's like you have a knife in your hand right there,
right.
Just like just cut it.
Yeah,
but. You know, whatever, it all worked out fine. I was impressed with him, like, stuffing the, like, hearing aids into his mouth. That was cool.
Yep, yep.
It was, like, by the time, like, the way the whole thing had played out, I was like, wow, you really, like, executed on that pretty well. So,
that was Sucker said, a legend.
Legend.
Was that the scene where he said that?
No, the scene actually where he said it was, like, the most unlegendary thing ever. And that's what made it so funny was because... It was like whenever the daughter had just left, kind of left the shelter, and she was going to go out on her own. And Emmett came to the little train station or like the depot area, and he was like, I'm taking you home. I'm doing all this, doing all that. And she basically looked at him and told him, said whatever, like, you know, you couldn't save your daughter or your wife or whatever. You know, you wish you could have done all this. Well, now you can, or like you can save other people. She gave him basically a little pump-up speech. And that's when Tucker said, legend. He was kind of talking, I guess he was talking about both, but he said Legend multiple times throughout the film. So like, it was being thrown around a little too loosely for my, you know, in my opinion, because at this point, I mean, everybody's a legend. So, but no, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the characters did some pretty legendary things. So, and then Will Smith popped up and Tucker said, "I am Legend." No,
I'm just kidding. I was waiting for that.
But another little side note that we kind of hit on earlier. David, you said, and it's right, and I didn't really even think about this, but these monsters don't seem like they don't, like, it doesn't appear that they eat people. I mean, I guess they do probably, but like, they just run around and just kill them. Like, that's all they want to do. They hear something, boom, dead. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, what kind of sick, like, life do they live? Just slaughtering whatever they hear. That just seems so dumb. Like, not dumb, but like, on their home planet, how do they operate?
I don't know.
They live quietly.
Yeah, they're just like, shut up, stop making so much noise.
Yeah, I was like, maybe they just have, like, they all just have, like, really bad migraines, and just, like, any sort of, like, noise is just very disturbing to their headaches, and so they're just, like, anybody making sound, they're just like, we gotta take this guy out. He's making my head hurt.
I think they'd come up with aspirin.
Yeah.
If they could come up with a ship to fly them to another planet.
Yeah, I don't know. They seem like they're aliens, but they seem more like creature aliens who have some sort of, I don't know.
If you really wanted to get into the weeds, you would say that these were animals sent by the aliens, like alien animals, to like wipe out all the people so they could just come in and like...
They're like their little henchmen.
Yeah.
That actually makes more sense.
Kill all the humans, we'll come down and we'll have Earth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hope that is not the case, because I don't want that to be Quiet Place Part 3, because I think that would get into that problem that you talked about, Silas, of like making it too complicated.
Yeah.
I don't know that there is really that. I don't know. I feel like I'm good with like this being the last one, I think, because it was like the end of the movie is like, all right, they have the sound being broadcast. Anybody with a radio can pick up a radio, turn it on, and use it to protect themselves. And it was like the only thing really left to do is like, you know, for people to figure that out and like distribute that.
It's hard to do another movie without bringing up like a million more questions that you have to answer.
Yep. Plus, I think the dynamic of like they don't really have to be that quiet anymore. In fact, it almost makes sense to like draw them out so that you could kill them.
Right.
So maybe it seems like you would just walk around broadcasting that sound and try to like find them and kill them, rather than just like try to be quiet. And so it seems like at this point you would just start fighting back. And since they're very like animal based alien creatures, it seems like that fight would be pretty straightforward.
Now it's a hunting part 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it needs to stop right here, or else it's gonna like go off the deep end. I felt like this was a really strong sequel to the original, which not all sequels end up like that. But I felt like this sequel was really strong, and I think they need to like cut it here. The other thing that I really liked about this movie was like there was nothing. I mean, I guess there was like the only thing that you would maybe argue is like unsavory about this movie is like the level of violence of like, it is a thriller. So there's like people who, you know, get killed by the aliens, but like, I don't remember there being any profanity or anything like that in this movie at all. There might've been like one or two swear words, but if there were, like, I don't remember noticing them.
Yeah, that was, I did pick up on that and appreciated that out of the movie overall.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool, because like I feel like a lot of time we're like, this was a really good movie, but it also had a lot of unnecessary profanity. And John Krasinski, you know, hats off to you for making a really good movie and didn't need to use any profanity, and it was still a really good, just a really solid story. So I just thought that was cool and deserved a nod. I appreciated that.
I tip my hat to you, Sir John, in case you're listening.
Mr. Krasinski.
Mr. Krasinski. Or Jim. Should I call you Jim? No. Okay, so this is kind of a good little time to bring up something that Luke said. Because we're starting to kind of talk about the overall opinion on the movie and stuff. So Luke walked out of the theater, and I could tell he was kind of disappointed. He's like, well, it was all right and all this stuff. And, well, I enjoyed the company more than I enjoyed the people. I mean, sorry. I enjoyed the company more than I enjoyed the movie. So we finally get outside, and we're all kind of talking about it. And Luke said, he's like, I'm just going to say it. It was a flop.
What?
And that's like, those were his words. It was a flop. And I mean, we all just died laughing because nobody else, I mean, we all pretty much loved it. So when he said that, his thing was, of course, you can, if you know Luke, you'll know that this makes perfect sense. He's like, I just don't understand. Where's our military? Where's the Air Force? Where's the Navy? He's like, this just doesn't make any sense. And are they going to all die? He's like, what's going to happen next? He was more, I think, just unsatisfied with the open-ended ending. And I said, okay, so what if like the Air Force had shown up and just like nuked all, you know, or whatever. Let's just say that our military showed up and wiped them out and it was just done for. He's like, oh, it would have been great. I was like, okay, well, so you just didn't like the ending. You know, it's just, it was so funny. But he said, y'all, it was a flop. I was like, Luke, man, I don't know if you know what a flop is, because I thought it was really good. So, but that was definitely the line of the night from him.
It was
a flop. All right. So,
I got to say, though, honestly, one of the best, like, abandoned radio station monster fight scenes in all of cinema, anywhere. Like, I can't think of a single abandoned radio station monster fight scene that tops that one.
That's like pre-colonial battles.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing.
That was Tucker's. That might be one of the best colonial era battle scenes of all time. I'm like, okay. Yeah. That's like in sports when they get so specific with the stat. Like, this is the first time LeBron scored from this spot in the Staples Center. Like, and they'll just like, it's so specific. I'm like, well, yeah, duh. Like, so there's not going to happen that many times. So, all right. So you guys want to get into official ratings? Have we talked about everything else? Are there any more like discussion questions, David?
Yeah, I don't have anything else, I don't think.
All right. Well, Silas, we'll let you go last since you were still mulling it over.
Sounds good.
I'm going to give it, man, I don't know. It's tough. I'm going to give it an 8, a solid 8. It could easily be pushed into the 9 category, but I'm going to start season 2. I'm going to relatively tempered and then just give it an 8.
Well, I'm coming out hot. I'm giving it a 9. I think the storytelling was super tight. The suspenseful, like the use of suspense was just phenomenal. There are some things that I would have liked to see different in terms of character development, and that's why it's not a 10 for me. But I just thought this was a really very solid offering from John Krasinski. Very well executed. Really enjoyed it. So it's a 9 for me.
I think it's going to be a 7 for me.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Because I don't know if I'd rewatch this with company, but on my own, probably wouldn't rewatch this, honestly. Not that there's, like we said before, after Caleb did his initial impressions, like there's nothing I really like can pick out that I didn't like about it, but also nothing really super wowed me either. Like character development was okay. There wasn't a lot of it. The action wasn't a lot of that either. This like gorgeous cinema, there wasn't a lot of that. Audio or music didn't like wow me. So, I mean, it's a good story. So, all in all, 7 for me.
Yeah, I think that's where it scores highest, is in like the creativity of the story and like kind of the uniqueness of the idea and the way that it was portrayed. So I can see where you're coming from.
I can see where you're coming from, but I wholeheartedly.
Oh, boy. Okay, Silas, was there any trivia? Have you seen any?
There wasn't interesting... any.
Okay.
I looked at it and there was just like, I think Emily Blunt was like, not really. She was thinking about not coming back. And then after she heard John Krasinski's pitch for, I think the bus scene, the first part of the movie, she was like, okay, I'm in, with the monster like climbing out of the thing.
That was, I forgot about that. That was good.
Yeah, that was really good. But that's such oddly like specific. Like
I know. Like, why would like, that oh, sway I'm in. You?
Yeah, that's funny. That would have been, I mean, I don't know what it would have been like if she wasn't in it, but glad she, Emily, if I may, glad you came back. Thought it was pretty good. So
yeah, that would have ruined the movie because she's like one of the like main characters. Like,
right.
That would have been super confusing. It would have just been like, and the mom is now portrayed by it completely.
The mom is now a brunette.
Just yeah.
Don't anybody pay attention to that.
Right. It's going to be very dark.
This has been our review of A Quiet Place Part 2.
That's right.
What are we going to watch next?
I don't know. We should decide. Somebody updated something.
I added a couple.
Oh, there's one movie that I really want to watch. I have to see if it's on VidAngel. And it's this is like securely in the like dude, like film category. But the Michael B. Jordan, Tom Clancy movie, Without Remorse. Have you guys seen the trailers for that?
No.
I have seen just barely. I don't not even like a full length trailer.
Silas, you haven't heard of it?
No.
Wow. You haven't heard of it, but just like I feel like you would be very into the trailer.
I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it is on VidAngel.
Yeah.
Should we watch?
I'd be fine with that.
I really want to watch this movie. I'm kind of scared it's not going to be good, but
well,
I still
it's
want
a new
watch
one
it
for all of us, so that's good.
Yeah.
I really like Michael B. Jordan, obviously. It just looks like it has a lot of like crazy intense like action scenes and stuff like that.
I'm going to watch the trailer right after this, so.
All right.
Yeah, that works for me.
Our next movie will be Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. We're going back to just leaning hard into dude movies, but I think most of our audience is guys at this point, and I don't know.
Maybe we can do Cruella. You know, that's a recent release if we wanted to go see that. But
that is on the list. I have that on the list.
Yeah, I saw it on the list, but that would be, I guess, more across the board.
I don't
crowd
know,
pleaser.
Yeah, who that caters to.
Probably like our generation who is starting to grow up and like they're like craving all these reimaginations
nostalgic
of live action Disney movies. So
it looks, I guess
I've heard it's like a little bit dark, kind of, you know, like
I hope it looks, she gets like bitten by a Dalmatian.
I think it's PG-13.
Dark. It is PG-13.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, but we're gonna do Without Remorse. So,
which astonishingly, I think is the first Michael B. Jordan movie that we've ever done.
We haven't done that many. I don't think it's that astonishing.
Yeah, we've done some.
Believe
movies
it
that
or not,
have like multiple. Like we've done multiple Tom Hanks movies. We've done multiple Djimon Hounsou movies.
This
we've
is
done
true.
Multiple. Man, what else have we done? Multiple.
It's just how the cards have fallen.
Yeah, if we did Cruella, we would have done multiple Emma Stone movies. I feel like we've done multiple Michael Caine movies. Have we?
Yes.
What was the first one?
I know we did The Prestige.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
we will be Without Remorse.
That's our Venn diagram segment of the podcast. So, all right. Anything else? Any last thoughts, comments?
Thank you all for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to season 2. Peace.